And welcome in to the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend here in the Nashville area. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Joe Rex Road is live from Indianapolis, Indiana, in advance of the NFL Combine taking place this week. One of the great events of the sporting calendar year, as we all know. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
Well, great. I forgot my microphone, which makes me sound professional when I do the show on the road. And also, you know, I can't really expect a major hotel chain like Marriott to have a hot water for its guests in the morning. Way too early for that. Wouldn't expect that. That's asking way too much for whatever the freaking rate is per night here. So having a great Monday morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, and you're in one of your favorite cities in Indianapolis, Indiana, too. So it's good, good at least that you have that. Charles Robinson will be there this week. So a meeting of the minds, Joe Rexroad included, in Indianapolis this week. I'm doing very well. Had a very nice, resting, relaxing weekend. Nick Keyser, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm getting over my little stuffy episode that I had for the last little bit, and I'm not too happy about my first weekend winners. I'm keeping more track of it this time around than I did last time. So
I did pretty well.
Yeah.
Just going to throw that out there.
You did well. Yeah.
So
how did I do? I don't even remember.
I'll have to go look. I know that you got the Baylor-Houston game wrong, but you got Kentucky-Alabama right. You did. They nailed that one.
That's right.
And the prep at Kentucky was up by like 50 points. I was like, wow, I think Joe's going to get it.
I could have gotten it. I mean, Baylor-Houston was a great game.
Yeah.
Could have got it.
Absolutely.
Not quite.
A lot to get to, like I talked about earlier on the program. Preds win again. We're going to get to that here in just a second. Five in a row for them on the road trip. So they sweep the road trip. They'll come back home. And now they got five in a row coming up at home as well. So we'll see if they can build on that. Tennessee with some good news over the weekend on Friday with their injunction against the NCAA. We'll talk about that at 6:30 today on the program. And like I said, Joe Rexroad live from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Joe, the Preds finish it off last night with a 4-2 win against the Anaheim Ducks. So they win Saturday against San Jose in a game where I wouldn't say that they played great in that game, but they did enough to win. And then last night against Anaheim on a second half of the back-to-back, they close out the road trip and they win. So now they've won five games in a row ever since the U2 thing, and you get hammered by Dallas at home. You go on the road and you respond as well as you can respond and win five consecutive games. They're 4 points up on St. Louis now. Now, granted, they've also played two more games than St. Louis has. They're only 2 points back from L.A. now in the wild card race. And you win five in a row, that's going to really improve the playoff chances as you move forward here. We'll see if they can keep it going as they get back home. But, Joe, your initial reaction to the Predators finishing this thing off and coming back home with a five-game winning streak.
I mean, I'd still take U2 over the five-game winning streak, but that's just me. No, really impressive. Really impressive stuff, no doubt. You know, I actually saw Nick's tweet, which I think was a good – I had it on my phone. I guess I don't anymore. But
it was so good.
But it was good because it was basically everybody scored. And I think that is the thing about this streak is that they weren't just carried by the top line. The power play didn't do very well, but this is secondary scoring. They found some, and some of these young guys, I feel like, have gotten a little jump here. You know, when is it because? I mean, first of all, I can't imagine any of the young guys actually give a crap about you two. If they do, I'm a big fan of that young guy. Good for you. You know, but whatever it is, I think, you know, regardless of the consequence of the Dallas game, the consequence is also embarrassment, right?
Yes.
I mean, it has to be for everybody involved, regardless of what somebody says to you afterward or takes away or whatever. So it's been a fantastic response, no doubt about it. And you just never know with this team. It's absolutely a roller coaster. And I mean, I guess the problem now is they're coming home where they're now way worse than they are on the road.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the road record is fantastic. And can you come back home and keep things going here against an Ottawa team tomorrow that's not been very good, although they're playing much better now, which is for some reason an Ottawa Senators thing. Like when they get basically knocked out of a playoff spot where they have no hope of coming back, they start to play well. and they've done that for the last 3 years, which like drives their fan base nuts. That's what they're doing again here. A huge game against Minnesota on Thursday. You got Colorado at home Saturday, so some big games coming up. But I'm with you. Like the way that they won some of these games, I think is really encouraging because it wasn't, you know, the Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg show. Although, you know, Forsberg scored against San Jose. He scored again last night and a goal that really he's the one on the roster that can score the one that he did last night. But, you know, Michael McCarron scoring goals. Kiefer Sherwood on Saturday night against San Jose scoring two. I think Evangelista's been really good on this trip, even when he hasn't been putting the puck in the net. Tommy Novak continues to play pretty well. So a lot of these guys that you're going to have produce if you're going to have a chance to make the playoffs, and certainly if you've got a chance to do anything once you get to the playoffs, are producing right now. Now, the big question is this sustainable? Like, can you get sustainable offense from these guys? And look, I do think, you know, the power play has to get better. And the encouraging part is, like, Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly, I think, will get better, and they will play better, and they will score goals more often than they did on this trip. So if you can get that in tandem with the secondary scoring that you got on this road trip, well, then you're in a pretty good spot at that point. It is interesting, though. You know, we get after the Dallas game, and it's a 9-2 loss, and it's like, okay, well, I think the trading deadline decision is made. And then they roll off 5 in a row. Cody on the text line says, Preds always do this. When I'm convinced I wanted to sell, they go on a winning streak, and now I have no idea what I want. This is from Cody on the text line. I think a lot of Predators fans probably feeling that way today.
Well, yeah. But, like, as far as what you should want when they play is you want them to win, right? I mean, you're a Preds fan.
Sure.
I mean, like, they're in a race here. I do agree with John from Clarksville. He says, you know, Lankland looked great two games. Trotz should not have let this affect him at the deadline. Clean out the closet, gain all the assets you can. But, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, I personally do not think that any winning from here till the deadline should be a factor in the Soros discussions. Really don't. And I don't know if anybody does, but I just, like, if you get a sweet deal to set yourself up for the future, then you do it. And then, yeah, I mean, I you can't. That doesn't necessarily – I know that the guys in the room, some would be unhappy, although I think you also, if you're them and you pay attention, you got to understand the situation and be realistic. You know one of these guys is going to be the future of this team in net. So, I don't know. I guess, Robbie, with this kind of winning, do we go back to thinking about Trotz actually looking for something to pick up to actually help this team?
Maybe. I think probably what would be more likely, at least in my opinion, in this, and I'm totally with you on Soros. Like, to me, his is kind of a separate discussion than everybody else. But I think what would be more likely if I'm Barry Trotz is, are there players that are currently on the roster that you were looking to ship out of here that maybe you're less willing to do now that you're winning and you're in a playoff spot? So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're adding, but maybe you're not doing as much of a subtract as you otherwise would have, if that makes any sense. I think with the winning that's going on right now, standing pat probably becomes a little bit more likely than it was before. I still, unless there's just a ridiculous trade out there where you can go get, you know, a fringe top six forward for like a fourth round pick, then I don't know if I'd be if the adding changes much if I'm Barry Trotz. And besides, like, I don't know that there's anybody out there that's realistic right now that you can go grab that's going to be a player that you really don't already have. Like I don't know if there's right. a 30 goal scorer just sitting out there waiting for you to go get.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you've been trying to build chemistry with these guys together. And so unless you have someone who really shakes it up and upgrades you, then, like, well, you know, you've got plenty of, you know, of kind of interchangeable pieces. I mean, and you got some options in Milwaukee too. They lost now, so I guess it's clean house time for them, right?
They did. The 19 game winning streak has come to an end. What will we do? The Milwaukee Admirals. I don't know what to do anymore. They lost the game. Was that the first game they've lost this calendar year? I believe it is.
Correct. Yes, they've not lost since December 17th, I think. Yeah.
That's a long time. Wow. Pretty good run.
That is a heck of a run. My goodness. I don't know. I mean, I wonder about Carl Taylor's effectiveness now. You know, I thought he was doing pretty well, but I don't know, man.
Has he lost the room?
So, maybe. All right, so do I need to yell? Like, do I sound okay?
No, you sound good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good to know.
You sound silky smooth. That Marriott Wi-Fi coming in very strong.
That's good. I brought Kaharski's tripod here for him too. So didn't remember my microphone, but I remember Kaharski's tripod. Also, by the way, guys, 5-1 with a lock. Just want you to know.
Look at you. So the Pigskin Pick'em champion starting off weekend winners. Very, very strong. So the only loss you had was the Houston game, huh? That's a close one, too.
Yeah, and I'm the only one who had the Preds winning both games.
You did.
You guys have no faith.
That is true.
Yeah, Joe's just rolling in our show today on a Cadillac, just like
Chris, he is.
Just like Chris Chelios did for his retirement ceremony. He rode in there with his mom in the car.
He did. Completely unrelated.
How about that?
But the Patrick Kane stuff was pretty awesome yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Stirring tribute and then wins it in overtime. How about that?
Yeah, pretty cool stuff. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rexroad. We're going to get back into the Preds hot and heavy in the 7 o'clock hour and discuss the five-game winning streak and where things go from here with them coming back home and the trade deadline only a couple of weeks away at this point. We'll take your thoughts on that all show long. 615-737-1025. Joe is live from the NFL Combine. We'll get into things to look for the Titans' perspective at the NFL Combine coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you. Joe, live from Indianapolis, the NFL Combine this week, the Underwear Olympics, as some call it. And now, Joe, we know that apparently Caleb Williams will not be throwing or working out, and Jaden Daniels not throwing either. So at least two of the top three quarterbacks, I haven't heard anything about Drake May yet, two of the three top quarterbacks projected go in the draft, not participating in the NFL Combine. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I wonder if we're going to see just more and more of that, you know, just and even, you know, it's almost like the Senior Bowl. Senior Bowl is a lot of good prospects, but usually the top prospects don't go to the Senior Bowl. They don't go to any of those things, you know. So are we going to get to the point where if you are, you know, confident that you're – because I think Stroud didn't throw here last year. Am I right about that?
I believe that's correct.
I think that's right. I remember I was actually at his pro day and – remember the I should have known that day, like, man, he's pretty good. He throws it pretty well. He might be good. I do wonder if we see just more of that, the prospects who are, you know, are pretty secure that they're going at the top of the draft, not bothering to do something in this environment that might actually trip them up. As opposed to you go to your – because, I mean, I think everybody will at least throw at their pro day.
I would assume
I can't remember, and maybe if I'm wrong, if I'm misremembering, someone let me know, but I can't remember, like, a top quarterback prospect not doing that. But that may be just like, you know, just do your pro day around, you know, your friends, your teammates, all the people you know. You know, throw to your receivers and stuff like that and keep it to that. It's too bad. But, I mean, look, I mean, I'm not shedding a tear for the combine because the combine sucks. So, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. But I get that some people are probably upset by it.
Yeah, I mean, first off, like if you're a guy like Caleb Williams or really even Jaden Daniels, like what's the value gained by throwing at the combine? Probably not much. Like, congratulations, Caleb. You were projected first overall heading into the draft, heading into the combine, and now you're projected first overall still. Way to go. I mean, that's basically what the thought process is, I would guess, there from them. It is interesting, though, like Anthony Richardson, I think, was a great example of this last year. And to a different extent, I do wonder about, you know, guys later in the draft. Like, honestly, this week I'm thinking about, like, Joe Milton, right? Like, Joe Milton at the combine would figure to be really impressive with the athleticism that he has, certainly the arm strength on full display when there's nobody running after you and you can sit out there and just sling the ball 90 yards down the field. Like, this is a week where I think Joe Milton and guys like that have a pretty good opportunity to impress at the NFL Combine.
Well, I mean, we'll see with Milton. He'll impress with the strength of his arm, but that's – I mean, at the Senior Bowl, I don't think he really helped himself because he just – he missed. You know, he just missed on too many throws.
Yep.
And even – that would be very interesting on the athleticism part with him. Big and strong and a good athlete, but I don't know. I mean, I think this is a huge week for him, you know, to test really well and to throw really well. I mean, he's a guy who needs this, you know. I mean, he needs this to help him. The Senior Bowl really didn't, but like, I can't imagine like his agent being like, yeah, you know, I mean, like if he were to not throw, then it's just like, okay, so you just don't believe in yourself. Right. I mean, like so he's got to, he's got to really bring it. It's a big week for him and guys like that. And even for a lot of the guys between like Milton and the top of the, because I think I saw, and I don't remember, it might have been Brugler, Jeremiah, but I think someone had him like 10th recently I saw, which seems about right among QB prospects. I mean, the thing about Caleb Williams not throwing, honestly, I mean, what that basically means is now people can bitch on social media about him, you know, because that's what they like to do. And also it hurts the NFL because they so badly want this to be like compelling TV, even though it's not at all anyway. So I'm actually in favor of it.
I can't remember if it was at the combine. I think it was at his pro day, but the Zach Wilson part, like the Zach, did you see the throws that Zach Wilson made?
It's like,
from that moment on, looking back on that, and what happened at the combine, or again, I think his may have been his pro day, but it's just like, can we please put a stop to this nonsense? And I get the NFL is king and NFL has done a great job of controlling the sports cycle here. And they only get better at it with each passing year. But this combine stuff is just mind boggling to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't give Charles enough crap. I know I've given him some crap on our show for like, the year he was here for the combine. I was here because I had like a basketball game like in Bloomington or something, and then the LSU quarterback, my God, help me out,
Jamarcus Russell.
Thank you. Jamarcus Russell is just, you know, throwing 100 yards from his knees or whatever the heck he did, has nothing to do with the NFL, you know, or playing quarterback well. And they're like, oh, Charles just like, oh my God, I got to find that column he wrote off that. Like, this guy is holy cow. Who gives a crap? It really means nothing. Like, how many testing things at this combine have actually turned into, I mean, there's definitely been like really good players who, okay, do you run well enough? I mean, I've seen that before. It's like, if you just run, like, you know, a great corner, a great receiver, just run a 4.5, then that tells me what I need to know or whatever, right? So like from that perspective, sometimes the 40 can be important. Obviously, Metcalf is the one guy I can think of where it's like he blew up here and it was like, that's just too dominant an athlete to ignore. Or even Richardson last year, you know? So, I mean, it's not completely meaningless, but other than like a few things, It's just athletic testing, man. I don't give a crap.
Well, and the real
good,
value.
Are you good at football or are you not good at football?
Exactly.
That's what I want to know.
And the real value, I think, of the combine is the interview process, right? Like it's getting in front of these players, getting to know them a little bit more. You know, I guess, you know, we're going to hear some stories this week about in the aftermath of all this, Joe, like, oh, so-and-so came in for an interview and He took the chips that were sitting in the middle of the table. We didn't like that, so now he's off the draft board. Well, we'll hear some stupid stuff like that. But, like, if you're Carthon and Brian Callahan, like, get yourself in front of some of these prospects that you're interested in. Get to know them. What makes them tick? You know, how do you feel about kind of the character part of this stuff? You know, the work ethic, all those things. And those are things that, you know, as NFL-consuming fans – we're not going to know that much about because we're not obviously not in the room for that stuff, but that's what the real value is in the combine for these teams, I think.
I agree. And what we do have then is we start to get, you know, you get this or that report coming out of that stuff, right? And that's where it gets into the whole, and I thought last year was probably as prime an example as I can think of in terms of misinformation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the people weaponizing the really not accurate S2 number against CJ Stroud, possibly the Texans themselves.
Yeah.
I know I've heard Jared has speculated it was the Titans, but you know, probably someone who was interested in CJ Stroud would be my guess.
Yep.
And just things like that. And all the Levis stuff. I mean, all the Levis stuff, like you said, I mean, Charles is talking about the chips, but just a wide range of interesting things. And it's like, is it people who are agents of other quarterbacks trying to mess with the quarterbacks, not who their clients are? And I know some people believe that,
yep.
You know, is it all, you know, but that's where, I mean, I guess it's kind of fun, but that's also like, I mean, you have to take it all with a grain of salt, right?
No question. And then there's the, you know, from a Titans fan part of this, really the interesting thing is Carthon and Callahan speak tomorrow. And, you know, getting Carthon to talk about free agency and what's on the clock for the Titans coming up and maybe some plans that they have. I'm interested to see what Carthon has to say on that front. Like from a coaching perspective, you know, Callahan's already spoken twice at this point, and now we're getting into the part where it's about free agency and it's about the draft. So I don't know that Callahan's going to say a ton this week up there in Indianapolis, but it is going to be interesting to see, you know, Rand Carthon, what he has to say, and I guess how willing he is to go into detail about some of the plans the Titans have this offseason.
Yeah, and they both talk. I think they talk tomorrow at 9:15, 9:45
yeah.
Tomorrow. So, and also tomorrow I'm going to get the time right, but I will go to Dan Campbell and ask him if he's going to get rid of all specialists on his team and really go all in.
Dan, your thoughts on field goal kicking? Is that something you're aware of? Do you know what that is? Your thoughts? Don't hold my kneecaps, please. Leave my kneecaps alone.
Exactly. Yeah. I will stand. Yeah. Like I'm going to stand back a little bit for sure.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, a victory for Tennessee and Virginia over the weekend in their case against the NCAA. We'll get into that, what it means for the Vols and what it means really for college sports moving forward. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Nashville's best deal of the week this week is 312 Pizza Company. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Get half off a $30 gift card at 312 Pizza Company at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, Friday, a good day for Tennessee in their case against the NCAA. A federal judge barring the NCAA from enforcing its rules prohibiting NIL for recruits, granting a preliminary injunction, which was demanded, of course, by the states of Tennessee as well as Virginia as well. So that's a big win for Tennessee again in their case against the NCAA. Attorney General Jonathan Scarmetti put this out there in a statement, quote, "The court's grant of a preliminary injunction against the NCAA's illegal NIL recruitment ban ensures the rights of student athletes will be protected for the duration of this case, but the bigger fight continues. We'll litigate this case to the fullest extent necessary to ensure the NCAA's monopoly cannot continue to harm Tennessee student athletes. The NCAA is not above the law, and the law is on our side." That was what Tennessee Attorney General Jonathan Scarmetti said in his statement over the weekend. So, Joe, your thoughts on the latest development in this case, what it means for Tennessee, and probably more importantly, what it means for the NCAA, who continues every time they go into a court case for things not to go very well for them lately.
Yeah, I'm going to say this with force because Raymond and Franklin says it sounds like I'm talking like I'm in a toilet. So first of all, there's two things here, right? So this is the injunction. So this does not mean like the case isn't over,
correct?
Right? But so you had a TRO, temporary restraining order, that went against Tennessee, and then you have the injunction Tennessee gets. In both cases, though, the judge basically said, like, yeah, you know, basically said the NCAA is going to lose here,
correct?
So first of all, right now, what this means is, and it's not just in Tennessee and Virginia; it's everywhere. There are no rules for NIL, no rules. So whatever Tennessee was doing, whatever Vanderbilt was doing, whatever, you pick it up, baby. You better pick it up because, like, there's no rules right now. So, and, you know, what this really means, I think the best thing this means is really it's what like Josh Heupel argued in his statement, you know, and there's so much rhetoric around all this, but there are some really good points, you know, that are part of this. And the biggest one to me, when it comes down to the long term, whenever this gets stabilized, which is probably some sort of labor management situation, I mean, these kids should be allowed to find out the value and find out what the market is. Like that's the thing is we've seen this. I think we saw it with Florida football as one big example that went public is like a lot of them are getting lied to, you know, or have been. And so let's get, if it's on the table, let's really let it be on the table. And that's really all this is. I mean, it's just, again, the NCAA trying to, you know, trying to sort of let it happen, but still trying to then go back and retroactively hit schools for breaking rules that weren't at the time rules. I mean, it's just, I've been waiting for. What else do they have other than Nico got on the plane? You know, well, what else is there? If they're going to make this big of a stink about it, and again, the lack of institutional control is going to be uttered at some point. What else are we talking about? And from everything I can figure out here, there really isn't anything. There are other sports involved, but I mean, it doesn't. I'm assuming this means that the investigation is going to just die. It may die a quiet death. I don't think the NCAA, you know, I mean, there's just no notice of allegations right now. So I'm assuming there never will be one. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I mean, I don't even know if that's all you have is basically like trying to go back in time with these rules that now have been ruled illegal. Today, they are illegal. I don't see how you can proceed with this if you're the NCAA.
Well, here's the way Adam Sparks put it, and I think it's a good way to put it. This is from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Quote, "The NCAA's investigation into the University of Tennessee isn't dead after a federal judge suspended enforcement of NIL rules, but it may be on life support." And that's kind of what it feels like. The investigation by the NCAA is on life support. And I'm with you. Like, I thought when all this first came out that maybe there was like a smoking gun there that the NCAA had that was just going to come out at some point. And the fact that it hasn't to this point is leading me to believe that there's really not one, which goes back to what we started talking about at the beginning of all this, Joe. Like, you better have more if you're the NCAA than like Nico hopping on a plane and trying to retroactively enforce that. Because if you don't, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense for you to get into this battle if you're them. And one thing's been made pretty clear. Like the way that the Supreme Court case went down, where you lost 9-0 in a country and in a world right now, but specifically our country that can't agree on anything, the Supreme Court had a 9-0 decision. That should tell you right there kind of exactly the battle you're fighting in courts right now. And now we have this injunction again, which, as you said, basically just reopens the door back up to anything goes in NIL. Like, it's tough to see the way out of this right now for the NCAA. And when this first came out on Friday that the injunction was filed, I mean, people around the country, from The Athletic to ESPN, people who covered college football, is like, yep, we're basically watching the death of the NCAA happen right in front of our very eyes.
Right. So now whenever people bring that up, I was like, okay, but you are gonna have some governing body, right? But maybe this is like, you know, the conversation about, you know, the powerful football schools splitting off or whatever that may be, you know. But certainly NCAA enforcement is just it's not gonna win this stuff. It's not gonna win this stuff. And so I mean, to me, it's like, are you going to plow millions more into lawyers to keep fighting this one? Because they got a whole bunch of other lawsuits out there. I mean, they lost the transfer thing in West Virginia, but there's the National Labor Relations Board stuff that's I think this week is happening. They've got all kinds of lawsuits out there, and like you said, Robbie. The Supreme Court has now basically told everybody they're going to lose all of them, or
Right.
for the most part. I don't know the specifics with every single lawsuit, but if it's a reasonable lawsuit, then it's probably going to be an L for the NCAA. So, you know, like this, this idea, some of the NCAA statements. I mean, I'm gonna read a statement from the NCAA. Okay, it says, "Quote: Turning upside down rules overwhelmingly supported by member schools will aggravate an already chaotic collegiate environment, further diminishing protections for student athletes from exploitation." And again, to me, like, no, the actually, I believe that when you try to sort of be half pregnant here. And like, you know, yes, NIL, but it's not pay for play. You can't talk about what the money is. That's just stupid. We, from the very start of this, obviously, the very, very best athletes, it was going to be pay for play. And it has been pay for play. Okay? It has been pay for play. It's just a lot more pay with a lot more guys now.
Yeah.
So just it's just a charade that needs to end. And I, to me, the NCAA needs to stop spending so much money to lose over and over again.
So Adam Sparks has an interesting piece at the Knoxville News Sentinel, basically just kind of highlighting options of where the NCAA could go from here in the aftermath of all this on Friday. And I'll just read kind of the, you know, the overall themes here. Number one, the NCAA could give up and go home, and Sparks goes into detail about that. Number two, the NCAA could downgrade its investigation. So, you know, they could, I guess, reevaluate their position and focus in on minor violations of investigations into other sports. NCAA could hold out for the trial, or finally, the NCAA could try to reinterpret violations. And Adam Sparks describes that as, quote, "This would be bold and likely unsuccessful." And he uses the phrase "likely unsuccessful" in pretty much every one of these options. So it's a long way of saying the NCAA really doesn't have a whole lot of great options left on the table when it comes to this case.
Yeah, I think this is just going to quietly go away, you know. And I don't think there's going to be a notice of allegations. Yeah, the idea of, I guess you could try to pop them for some minor stuff. It's just a big waste of time. As is, like, what's going on with this idea? Like, you can't put, like, a school's decoration in the recruit's hotel room?
Yeah,
like, what are we doing here?
I don't know.
What in the hell are we doing? Thing is, man, like, I have liked – I've thought that, like, Charlie Baker has come off a lot better to me than Mark Emmert. Mark Emmert was absolutely ostrich with head in the sand, Mr. Magoo, for years. Just, he was terrible, a terrible NCAA president. And I have definitely been a lot more impressed with Charlie Baker. And he has said some common sense things about, you know, trying to figure this out. And I understand they're trying to be within the constraints of the model. And that statement I read, listen, it is true. These schools do. And the thing is, they do make the rules. So there's a lot of, like, contradiction here going on, right? I mean, there's also different needs for, like, the very small group of high-level football schools and everybody else and all the issues that they have with the NCAA. But, like, how could you possibly sit in that building and think that this is a good idea? How about just, you're already taking L's left and right. How about let's make ourselves look like complete morons? Let's do that, okay? We haven't done that enough lately.
It's really a bold strategy.
Who comes up with this stuff now? Are we like we used to? I mean, years ago, it was like, oh, you can only have so much cream cheese on your bagel and some of these stupid rules. And that was back like before all this stuff that needed to happen. And we're going to try to do something like that now. It's mind boggling.
Well, I'll say this, you know, as far as if you're a Tennessee fan out there that's been really worried about this and like, oh my gosh, Tennessee finally gets to the point where Bama, they've lost Nick Saban and we got our quarterback in there, and he's going to be suspended and ineligible to play. I'd be feeling pretty good about where they're at with the Nico stuff this morning.
Nico will never play again.
Yeah, yes. I think they're going
to
be okay.
I say when Nico comes out for the opener next year, he should just go ahead and, like, make it rain as he's
look at
the
money, the
team, man.
Look at all this. We'll have more on Tennessee's case against the NCAA coming up next. Take your reaction to the victory for Tennessee over the weekend. 615-737-1025. Our phone number is 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. on this Monday morning. Tomorrow, your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Tomorrow morning at 8:45, Pick the Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. David in Fairview says, "This is my problem with the pay for play and all the sports betting. There's a reason why this was shunned on a decade ago, as money and sports don't mix. It creates too many open doors for cheating and, to me, squanders the true competition of the sports." This is from David in Fairview on the text line. Joe, your thoughts on David's thoughts.
David, I hate to break this to you, buddy, but we've had cheating and paying in sports. Yeah, look, my favorite thing when we talk about, like, college sports and amateurism and all that, the Big Ten Conference was created because the college football teams playing each other were cheating so much that they tried – like, we got to have somebody trying to overlook this stuff. They just keep bringing in these big, like, 30-year-old dudes and saying they play – that they go to school at Iowa and they're crushing us on the football field. I mean, seriously, go read the history. It's been going on
forever. That guy's 37 years old. How do you end up out there?
What's his major? I mean – yeah, this is not new. And
oh, my God, it's Andre the Giant. How do you end up playing for Nebraska?
The heck of a long snapper, though, man. So, and then, you know, the gambling. It's, what was it, 105 years ago, the Black Sox scandal?
Yeah.
1919. You know, I mean, it's been part of it. It's been intertwined. Think of the Boston College, sports betting scandal. I will say, though, David, on the gambling side of it, I do agree. It's wild to see how it was kept away and shunned for so long, and now all of a sudden it's a full embrace, right? And my only hope with that is, and we've discussed this, but, you know, that when it becomes it's everywhere, that maybe sunlight on everything actually is better in terms of, you know, the integrity of the games themselves, right? I mean, the concern is everybody gambling now, right? But my hope is that, you know, actually that there's actually more accountability and less opportunity for things like the Boston College point shaving scandal or Tim Donaghy in the NBA, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know that that's true, but I think that that's the hope. That is wild. But as far as, you know, college sports and amateurism and pay for play and all this stuff, just go back through all the years when it's amazing how these top recruits are waiting until the very end. You'd think that maybe they'd, you know, want to get their decision over, but they're going all the way down and they got like Alabama and Auburn and Tennessee and LSU. Why are they waiting till the very end? What is happening behind the scenes for them to finally make a decision? Why would that be?
Yep.
Yeah, it's called a bidding war, buddy. It's called bidding wars. This is, so, I mean, you know, for the top players, there's been good, sweet NIL money for a long, long time.
There have been. Sometimes allegedly in McDonald's bags, may or may not. Well, who knows what happens with that stuff.
But then it turned out to be – what did Mike Wilson –
yeah, I can't remember what it actually was. I think it was – I think there was a Chick-fil-A bag tossed in there too, but I prefer the McDonald's bag, so I'm going to stick with that.
I'm with you. Let's just keep it to that. It's better. It's a better story.
So, bottom line, it was a good weekend for Tennessee. I'm with you. It feels like this is going to start to kind of fade off into the background now as this continues to move forward here. The one thing I'll miss, Joe, is in the immediate aftermath, we had, you know, the Donnie Plowman emails, the Danny White statement, the Josh Heupel statement. I was looking forward to more and more statements coming out. I thought eventually we'd get down to, like, you know, the punter for Tennessee. And be like, and another thing, let me tell you this, NCAA. You know, it doesn't look like we're going to get that far.
Well, I'm really disappointed that we didn't get a Tony Vitello statement.
Me too.
At least like a big middle finger on a T-shirt or something. He rips his jersey off, you know, or something like that. Like, I don't know. I have not seen if he's talked about this.
I don't know.
This big gaggle of homers down there has asked him a question, but I may have to get after them again. You know, I mean, get Vitello on the record here.
Joe, on the basketball front, it was another good night for the Vols. They win 86-51 and just crushed Texas A&M at home. So how about the last couple of weeks for Texas A&M? A&M gets the big win at home against Tennessee and basically have imploded since then. Zakai Ziegler, 1 point and one rebound away from a triple-double on Saturday night. 9 points, nine rebounds, 14 assists, and he was in complete and total control of the game out there if you watched him play. Adu with 18 points. Dalton Connect, it felt like, Joe, like didn't really have to do much and still ended up with 24 points and seven rebounds on Saturday. So another big win for Tennessee, and now you're getting into the stretch of these final four games here of the regular season, which are going to go a long way of telling the story of what seed they are come NCAA time, but as a dominant win for Tennessee at home on Saturday night.
Yeah, Ziegler is – look, this team has – I think he's becoming a great point guard. And he's always been good. He was a breath of fresh air as a freshman, and then last year he was having a heck of a year, and he gets the ACL, and he's better than ever now. He keeps getting better. And so when you have a point guard like that, and then you have a scoring lottery-level wing like Connect, and now you have a five like Adu who can protect the rim and is getting more and more confident attacking it offensively with nice touch and all the things he does. Man, that's a heck of a combination, plus depth and veterans everywhere. Look, I mean, they are rounding into national championship-level form, and they've got four quad one games of their last four games, Auburn at home, at Alabama, at South Carolina, Kentucky at home, which to me, one, it's a tough road to try to win the SEC. They're tied for first, and I think that's an absolutely big deal to try to win the SEC. That would be a huge achievement. You know, they haven't won many in school history, and this is a heck of a year. This is the best league in college hoops, period. But also the opportunity to get a one seed is right there. You know, I mean, to me, if they win three of the four, which is a tall order, but if they do, then I think they'll get both. I think they'll get the one seed and the SEC championship. And the key game, of course, is at Alabama Saturday night.
Yeah, no question about that. And like you said, I mean, just the way that they're attacking the game offensively, but also remaining an elite defensive team. I mean, Texas A&M shot 27%. On Saturday night, 27%. And some of that's on them. I mean, they shot 34 threes and made seven of them. But some of that was also just smothering defense from Tennessee. And look, they've had that really for the last few years, but now you have Connect to go along with it. And it just – it does feel a little bit different this year with the different amount of weapons that they have at their disposal.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the case that this is the best Tennessee team going into an NCAA tournament. And, of course, if they're a one seed, that'd be the first ever.
Sure.
You know, the best shot going into a tournament for sure. I want to throw this out real quick, Robbie. Jake and Greenbrier says there's going to be a Pete Rose Black Sox-level scandal somewhere in the next 2-3 years max. Might be worse than those. That's the thing. I mean, I get the idea there. But I also think back – like, think of the Alabama situation, right? And now, granted – there was complete idiocy involved there.
Talking about Alabama baseball, yeah.
Yes, Alabama baseball. Think about that. I mean, that is the one thing about, again, everyone now watching. I mean, these sports books are trying to protect their interests, right? Like, and so I do think that things like that, in some ways, get more difficult to happen, don't they? That's what should be the case. But, I mean, I'm not saying Jake's wrong. It could happen. I do think that the sunlight on everything in some ways is good.
Well, the one thing I worry about on that front, I worry about it less with the players because I agree with you. I think it's really difficult to pull that off. You do – like this is, an era in sports where you really got to pay attention to the officials. And if you're some of these leagues, like
you've always been the case.
Really got to make sure that things are on the up and up with your officials. That's the area that I worry about.
Which is why you invest more in your officials, have the best possible officials, have extremely rigid standards for watching your officials, and you pay them much better than you have been paying them because they are as key in the outcome of these contests as anyone.
No question about it. Joe Rexroad.
Broken record. Broken record.
Have yourself a wonderful time at the NFL Combine today.
Thanks. I just put on a different shirt that I was going to wear today, and it has a nice big grease spot on it. So it's off to a great start this week.
Just a smooth start. Joe, we'll catch up with you later. Have fun.
Sounds good. Thanks.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we're going to get into the Nashville Predators. They win their fifth in a row last night in Anaheim, a five-game winning streak, coming back home this week, and now back in a playoff spot. What does it all mean? And where did the Predators go from here? We'll get into that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.